Good morning, Jacksonville. It's another edition of Protecting Military Families with Chris Brochu of Brochu Law. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Scott. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well today, brother. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I know we've had a couple of busy weeks here in Florida with the hurricane and everything. And my goal is for one of our upcoming episodes after this to have someone on the show that's an attorney that can talk about first-party property damage. I know that that's going to be a huge hurdle for a lot of Floridians to overcome, especially because there are going to be exclusions and, you know, what's included in your property insurance and things like that.
So the act of God disclosures and things like that.
We really want to look out for our listeners and, you know, advise them on their rights. I know that the whole state of Florida could have a potential homeowner insurance claim. Obviously, if you live in Southeast Florida or Central Florida, you got hit pretty hard. I know we had extensive flooding in St. Augustine here again. So we want to make sure that our listeners and anybody that rewatches the show knows what their rights are and what they need to do to prepare themselves if their claim is denied. But today we have a really interesting topic that is something I'm super passionate about. And it is going after some of these predatory lenders that target military families. So I don't know if you and I have ever talked about that on any of the other shows, Scott. So for anybody listening right now, Scott is usually filling in when Casey's not here. Scott's an absolute radio pro, always adds a lot to the segment.
How dare you?
Have we talked about that, Scott?
We have not. Most of what we talked about before was regarding the CARE Act trying to get through Congress, trying to get help for the burn pit victims.
Right. So we talked about Camp Lejeune. We talked about burn pits. The Military Lending Act is, it essentially provides or affords additional consumer protection to active duty military, their spouses, and their dependents. Now, obviously, the covered borrowers, that's a lot of people, right? Because you've got to have dependents that are within certain age gaps. And, you know, obviously the spouse has to be, meet the criteria in terms of like it's your current spouse, not say an ex-spouse or something like that. But it's at the time that you took out the loan, you were active duty or a dependent of an active duty service member. So anybody that's active duty across any branch would fit that criteria. And the other thing is there are certain exceptions where anybody on, reserve duty or active duty that were called up, they now may be covered under it, under the Military Lending Act as well. And it's important to distinguish, and this is, I get these calls a lot. The clients I speak with are, you know, usually aware of one federal law called the Service Member Civil Relief Act, the SCRA. And basically that one says when you get deployed to a combat zone or you're in certain types of situations where you're going to say boot camp, you can get out of loans or the lender has to lower your APR to say 6%. A lot of military families are familiar with the SCRA. And again, that Service Member Civil Relief Act, but a lot of military families have not heard of the MLA, the Military Lending Act. So the Military Lending Act is the one that covers installment loans, those types of payday loans, any debt consolidation, credit cards, things like that. And there are a number of protections that are afforded to active duty military families and their dependents under this federal law.
So there are certain criteria that they have to meet in order to qualify for that, and then certain protections that are entitled to them based on the Lending Act?
Exactly. And some of the most common ones that may violate the Military Lending Act, so we've investigated a number of these, but they have to do with closed-end installment loans. So, if you are in the military or you've ever taken out an installment loan, so think of a loan, you got $1,000 and you have to pay it back over 10 months, or you got $5,000 and you got to pay it back over 36 months. And you have a set monthly payment, you have a set interest rate, you have a start date, you know, an interest start date. That would be more of a closed-ended installment loan versus a credit card, which would be, hey, Scott, you have, you know, X amount a month that you can charge on this thing, and you have to pay us monthly. You can pay it down, you can pay it off.
And the interest compounds, et cetera.
Right. The credit card example is more of an open-ended credit. The installment loan is the closed-ended credit. But here's what we found. What we found is that outwardly, the APR, right, the annual percentage rate, looks like it conforms to the Military Lending Act, but it actually exceeds the Military Lending Act's. So I guess I should back up for a second. The Military Lending Act has a provision that says a lender cannot exceed 36% MAPR, right? So the Military Lending Act has their version of the APR. It's called the MAPR. The only thing you got to know is, does the loan exceed 36% interest? And if it does, it violates federal law. If it's 36% or less, it doesn't violate federal law.
36% interest violates a lot of things.
Yeah, I probably could find a bookie or a
that sounds like the kind of thing that'll get you violated in your kneecaps.
Right. I was going to say there are probably loan sharks out there that offer loans for less than 36%. And I say that only kidding, because this is not really a joking matter. Most of the clients that I've talked to that are in a position where they need an installment loan, they've got personal or household or family need where they have, you know, they're in a bind, right? They've got to move across the country or something like that.
Is this typically something that would be like a secured loan?
So these are actually not secured by, I'm so glad you asked this. You're asking all the right questions. These are not loans secured by a property interest. So a home would not qualify under the Military Lending Act. You know, and then there are certain types of loans, right? So a car loan, and we'll talk about this. We'll get into more detail about this in a bit. A car loan on its face does not, is excluded from the Military Lending Act. A furniture loan, right? Think about like if you do rent-a-center furniture, like something like that. That would be excluded from the Military Lending Act. But wait, there's an exception. And here's the exception. If the security interest, right, this vehicle includes ancillary products. So think about if you bought a new vehicle, what's it come with? Well, you could buy gap insurance, right? Gap insurance being if you get involved in an accident and the accident causes damage to your vehicle and the damage that you get for your total vehicle is less than you owe on the loan, that would be the gap, right? Gap insurance. You get extended warranties with new vehicles. Some consumers buy those. Those would be ancillary products. You don't need gap insurance or an extended warranty to purchase a vehicle, right?
Right.
Same thing with some of these furniture loans. So the reason why that's important is that if a service member did buy some of these ancillary lending products, then their loan would be potentially covered by the Military Lending Act, meaning they could not enter into a loan that exceeds 36%, right? So what we found is that a lot of these companies, right, think timeshare companies, think car dealerships, they are using the Military Lending Act's exclusion or provision to find a carve out to avoid this federal law, right? And what we found is that they're selling products that are not purely protected by a security interest, but they're probably governed by the Military Lending Act, and they may even be violating federal law.
Well, I hate when that happens.
Yeah. We've got a lender right now that we're investigating where so I'll give you some examples of what the military lender cannot do, right? So when I say military lender, I'm talking about when you drive, you know, outside the wire from a military base, right? So if you're here in Florida, if you're here in Mayport or anywhere around, the next time you drive off base, take a look at some of the lenders that are in the local community, right? These are the types of installment lenders that we're looking at. And again, you can look at them online. There are a number of different types of them that sell these installment loans. But here are some of the things that they're not allowed to do that we're investigating. So the first is they issue a loan that exceeds 36% MAPR. They can't do that. They don't disclose the terms of the loan. So what they'll do is they'll say, hey, Scott, this is your APR, right? And you say, well, where's my MAPR? And they don't disclose it. Or they provide a telephone number where they're supposed to disclose the MAPR, and it's a train to nowhere, right? It does nothing. If the installment lender requires allotment as a condition to a loan, so any of the military listeners out there know what that means. You sign up at DFAS and it comes out of your checking, or excuse me, your military check before it ever hits your bank account. So meaning if you're struggling to pay your rent, your bills, you've got a medical emergency, anything like that, your installment lender is getting their money off the top and you got to figure out, do you pay the light bill this month or pay your medical bills, right? That's why this has been this has been one of the more predatory things that the Department of Defense and the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau have identified, because there's really no need for allotment anymore, right? And then the other major thing that they can't do, these installment lenders, is they can't refinance or roll over a loan with the proceeds from another loan issued by them to the same borrower. So you can't say, all right, I'm going to go to this person and get a loan from this company, and then a year later say, all right, I need to take that money and it's still compounding and borrow more money and just keep snowballing that, because it's so difficult to get out of. So that's why the federal government has not permitted refinancing, consolidation, rollovers where the creditor is using extended credit with, you know, proceeds from other loans to the same covered borrower.
So that way it minimizes the hole that you can dig.
Where's your mind at right now? Have we lost you?
I'm a little confused on that, but I kind of get the general principle. The idea being, if I understand correctly, that you can't extend a loan. You can't come back and use that existing loan as a resource to expand the given loan balance. So if you were already in for hypothetically 1,000, you can't come back and say, you know, hey, look, you guys loaned me 1,000. You know, can I bump that up to 5,000? Can we extend this out?
Well, I think the issue is more so that you've already entered into this agreement for this interest rate and for the amount of financing over the life of the loan.
Okay.
And now you're essentially just compounding that interest, but you never actually received the money, right? Like they've loaned you X amount of money and you're in your pocket, you've received X, but your loan is Y. That's the violative part, because nobody can dig their way out of that debt.
I gotcha.
So the biggest thing with these limitations and why the Department of Defense and the U.S. government created the Military Lending Act back in 2006 is we had service members that were deploying overseas, right, to combat zones. They're moving around the country. They're deploying overseas. They've got all these things going on. And if that isn't hard enough, they've got these companies that could still make a pretty good living, right? I mean, they could still charge 35%, 34%, still do pretty good. Well, that's not even enough for them, right? They still are violating federal law. They got to get, you know, I mean, there's a case right now that we have 54%, 54% on an installment loan that we're investigating.
Yikes.
Yeah. So the reason that the DOD and the U.S. government said, hey, wait a second, folks, this is predatory, we can't do this anymore, is because they realized that service member morale, family households. It's preventing our military from doing their jobs. And here's the biggest thing, right? Here's one of the biggest reasons. There was a statistic that showed, so obviously if you're in the military, a lot of these men and women have security clearances. In some cases, they have top secret security clearances. And what happens is if the service member falls behind, they can lose their rank, their pay, their job, their clearance, because that's one of the things that why we take service member debt so seriously is that's one of the ways that, you know, one of these foreign countries can convert, you know, or try to convert someone that they can use their financial position against them type thing. So that's why we want to make sure that our service members aren't in, you know, any financial position that would subject them to something like that. But that's also why you can't have a security clearance if you have financial issues.
It stands to reason out of that that if there's a demonstrated financial compromise or an inability to maintain your financial solvency on that, then it's indicative of potential other problems. There's apparently a risk of indulgence, maybe poor judgment, maybe just an opportunity of exploitation. So I can absolutely see where that becomes an issue down the line relative to the performance in their duties.
Absolutely. And I think what we're seeing is that because that is, you know, but the most important thing, right, for a service member and their military family to stay on top of their debt and their bills, what some of these companies are doing, they just do whatever they want because they know once an allotment is set up, they can bill whatever they want. They can charge excessive fees. They can charge usurious interest rates. They can charge penalties that the service member, because once you set up a DFAS allotment, it's difficult to shut off. So there's no protection for the service member, because here's the protection. If a service member right now set up and here's why allotment used to be useful and now it's really, you know, it'd be like you owning a Walkman. Like, yeah, I guess if you like to own a Walkman, like you can still listen to CDs that way. But like, do you really need a Walkman? Like you have Spotify, you know, Scott, like you don't really need your Walkman anymore.
Right. There's a better way.
Right. So what the allotment is back in the day, it was like, well, if you were in, you know, a foreign country before the internet and everything, you knew that your bills were getting paid. You could set that up. But now you can set up direct deposit. Direct deposit's free, right? But here's the caveat. Here's the kicker. Your direct deposit is through a bank that is federally licensed and insured who owes you an obligation to dispute any fraud or unlawful billing, right? So if they start charging you these bogus fees and rates and all this stuff, well, you just dispute it through your credit card. Now it's their problem because they have an obligation to protect you, right? Well, with allotment, it's that lender in the military. There's no federal protection. It's your bank account. You would literally have to bring an action against them to prevent that unlawful billing practice or usurious interest rate or whatever they were doing. I mean, it is just no hold bar. I mean, it's like whatever they want to do.
So basically, consenting to payment is authorizing them with fundamentally unlimited access or unbrokered access.
Right. And without, you know, and again, if a service member has the option and chooses that option, that is their right, but that cannot be a condition to the loan.
Gotcha.
So that's really one of the biggest things. And on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about how my firm can help get service members and their family out of these loans. So what I would really want is anybody that knows an active duty family or, you know, an active duty service member that has taken out an installment loan, bought a new vehicle, bought a timeshare, has had issues with debt consolidation or issues with any of these payday lenders, go home, find your agreements, and if you can't find the agreements, figure out how much the amount is that you borrowed, and that's the discussion I want you to start having at home with those loved ones that have taken out these types of loans, because the only way to fight back is to do something. It's not to ignore this problem, because this is a serious, serious problem.
And you've always got the option to reach out to the lender or creditor and ask for a copy of the agreement and ask for the contract paperwork. And aren't they required to disclose that or to provide an additional copy?
You would think. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they give you what they want to give you, right? In some cases, the document we really need, we don't get until we file a lawsuit. But yes, the best thing you can do is you contact that company if you have an online access or online portal access, request it through there. And again, everything that we do at Brochu Law is on a contingent fee basis. So if you want us to investigate if the loan that you have violates federal law and you're an active duty service member, again, only active duty for this one, folks, under the Military Lending Act, active duty or dependent, and you want us to review, we're taking a look at these. It doesn't matter where in the country you live, because we would bring this in federal court. And basically, how that works is we'd find local counsel to work with us. And if we're admitted by that federal court, then we'd be admitted to practice for that case. So if you have loan documents that you want us to review, send them to me. You can find my information on my website, www.brochulaw.com. That's spelled Bravo, Romeo, Oscar, Charlie, Hotel, Uniform, brochulaw.com. And what we'll do is we'll review it for free. If the agreement is within the law and does not violate the law, you don't owe us anything for reviewing that. We offer that as a free second opinion to our military families. If it does violate the law, then we would figure out what we could do, and we would enter into a fee agreement where, again, it would be on a contingent fee basis. There's no upfront cost to the service member, and there's no fee unless you win. So what we can do, and this is what we're going to talk about on the other side of the break, we can potentially get you out of that contract and get you all of the premiums or interest that you've paid on that loan reimbursed.
So we've got more about Military Lending Act coming up after this break. Stick around for more Protecting Military Families with Chris Brochu on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Jacksonville, we're back with Protecting Military Families with Chris Brochu on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Feel free to reach out to Chris if you've got questions at 904-201-1771 or case@brochulaw.com, and check out his website at www.brochulaw.com for some frequently asked questions and some more information on the services they provide.
Excellent. And the other thing I wanted to mention too, Scott, because we never want an episode to go by without mentioning it, we always offer a free consultation to our military families, veterans, and consumers, particularly if you have an issue with SGLI, VGLI, TSGLI, VA disability, military lending, Camp Lejeune, or any other issue related to an injury or consumer claim. And as always, our free consultation and second opinion is free. We offer that to review and make sure that you aren't leaving benefits on the table, or whoever told you that you're not entitled to a legal remedy or a military benefit got it correct. If there's nothing that we can find to assist you further, you don't owe us anything. If there is something that we think we can do in relation to your military benefits or your legal rights, then we would enter into a fee agreement. The fee agreement requires no upfront money from military families or veterans. We advance all costs on behalf of service members and military families, and there's no fee unless you win. So essentially, any of those areas that I just mentioned, Camp Lejeune, VA disability, SGLI, VGLI, TSGLI, military lending, and more, We're happy to screen. We're happy to take a look. And, you know, we want to help military families fight back. The other thing, and then we'll get back into military lending and remedies. I almost forgot. Brochu Law is going to be hosting our first ever event with the Jacksonville Humane Society on Veterans Day this year, 2022. It's on Friday, November 11th. The event is going to start at noon, and it's going to be over at Fork. And we are sponsoring, I just want to make sure I have my date in front of me. Yes. So that Friday, noon to 4 o'clock. And what we're going to be doing is any military family, service member, veteran that wants to adopt a dog or cat from the Jacksonville Humane Society on the South Side, we are going to pay for the adoption fee. So if you're a military family and you want to add a furry, you know, four-legged friend to your, as an addition to your military family, Brochu Law will be paying for the adoption fee that day from noon to four. So please come out and join us. And obviously all proceeds go to the Jacksonville Humane Society. So I think so far we're estimating around at least 50 adoptions, but if more people show up, then you know, we're going to do our best to get as many pets adopted that day as possible. So
new recruits for the home forces.
Yeah. And if you haven't been to their facility, Jacksonville Humane Society, absolutely beautiful. It's right off of Southside Boulevard. So just wanted to get that out there. We're going to continue, you know, basically just spreading the word about that event. But if you know a military family in Northeast Florida that wants to adopt a pet, please feel free to spread the word. It's called Pets for Vets, sponsored by Brochu Law, Jacksonville Humane Society, on November 11th, 2022, starting at noon.
Very cool.
Yeah, it should be a great event. So I just want to continue on where we left off on the other side of the break, Scott. I know that, you know, part of understanding the Military Lending Act is not only understanding what types of loans and consumer lending qualifies or is protected under the Military Lending Act, but also what remedies military families have if they find themselves in an unlawful installment loan or loan that violates the Military Lending Act.
Now, how can that get settled up if somebody does find themselves in that situation, that they've got some unlawful terms? What reconciliation process is there?
So what they would do is they would send the loans to us, or if they know that they're in a loan that may be usurious or maybe unlawful and they can't get a hold of the forms. And what we would do is we would investigate, we would review in comparison to the federal statute under the Military Lending Act, and we would try to figure out if the loan was lawful or unlawful. And if we find that the lender did violate the Military Lending Act or is currently violating, right, when they issued this loan, then what we would do is we would file a lawsuit against the lender, and that's how we would kick off this whole process. Now, I don't want to scare anyone at home from pursuing one of these types of claims or doing something like that, but the typical way to do it is to bring it as a class action. And I'm not talking about the class actions that end with a coupon to the Jelly of the Month Club. I'm talking about a class action that is, to provide damages to an entire class of consumers. And part of the reason why a class action is the best vehicle to bring these types of claims, when you're dealing with $700, $1,000, $2,500, that's a lot of money. I don't know about you, Scott. That's a lot of money to me.
Brother, $5 is a lot of dollars to me. I work in radio.
I just think that that's where a lot of these go awry, is that people say, well, I don't want to do anything because it'll cost me $10,000 to recover my $500 or whatever it is. But the reality is, if nobody's willing to stand up and fight, then this conduct will just continue on and on and on. And the good news is, if it's something that we can bring under a federal or state law that allows for attorney's fees and we're successful, the losing defendant, right, whoever this company or lender is, they'll be required to pay our attorney's fees and costs. Now, if it's a case where there's no contractual right to attorney's fees and there's no statutory right to attorney's fees, then we would still represent the military family or class on a contingent fee basis, but we would get a portion of whatever the total settlement is. So I just want to be clear on that. This isn't one of those things that, you know, I know class actions have a terrible reputation, but the reason why they are so successful is that if you bring a claim against a company and it's $700, that company probably pays their attorney $700 an hour, right? These insurance companies, these lenders have armies of attorneys, right? They're not really scared of one person with a $700 claim. But when we take one person that's representing 20,000 people with $700 claims, they tend to take the claim a bit more serious because their exposure goes up. And typically what you find is that when one of these companies issues a loan, they're not saying, "Oh, Scott, man, we got to rail that guy. Let's give him 45%. But Miss Jones, she's a sweetheart. We'll give her 15%. No, they're not going to discriminate against anybody. They're in the business of making money. Typically, there are common issues, right? They're not going to be issuing loans that are going to be completely separate. The terms are usually the same. The disclosure is usually the same.
A standard of practice.
Right. They're going to have the same policy and procedure about most of this. So what we can do, once we file that lawsuit, if we get a settlement, trial award, you know, any way that we can get money for a military family, then what we would do is we try to get the contract rescinded from the inception date. So essentially what the Military Lending Act says is that the contract is void from the inception if it violated the Military Lending Act, this federal law.
So basically it becomes a retroactive relief.
So it would get them out of the loan and their damages would be $500 in statutory damages. They could get their attorney's fees and costs paid by the other company. The company could be exposed to potential punitive damages if what they're doing is really harming consumers. There are so many things, you know, sorts of prejudgment or post-judgment interest could be at play depending on what type of claim you have. So there are a number of different ways and mechanisms that we can try to stop the company from future harm and also get military families out of these loans.
Now, in order to file a class action suit like that, do you have to have a large number of participants, or is it something you can do with a single petitioner on behalf of potential people affected by this?
I get this question weekly, and it is such a great question. The class action, and we've talked about this on the show, so the listeners here know by
now.
Like
you said,
you
get asked weekly.
We're giving everybody a weekly their weekly dose of legal knowledge. So the listeners by now know the difference between a class action and a mass tort. So with a class action, what we do is we take one person, right? We don't need to find the 20,000 others that have been harmed. We just have to have one person that's willing to stand up and fight. Once we have that one person, they can bring a claim on behalf of all of the others that are similarly situated. Now, with a mass tort like Camp Lejeune, in a Camp Lejeune case, we might have somebody that has passed away due to Parkinson's. We may have somebody living with leukemia. We may have somebody who had a miscarriage or multiple miscarriages. So their damages are going to vary based off of the type of injury or illness that they have. And that's why that's a mass tort, because the injuries are not common. The liability is common because we have the same poison going into the water that they had a duty to protect these service members and they didn't, right? They covered it up and knew that they were drinking this toxic water And the government has essentially admitted in the Camp Lejeune Justice Act that they are at fault, right? They've essentially acknowledged their liability and that service members and their family, veterans and their families have been harmed by this toxic water, but
the nature of that harm is different on a per case basis.
The nature of the harm is different, and the other part is the causal link, right? So it may be extremely difficult to connect one person's injury or illness to toxic water at Camp Lejeune, but it may be easier to connect another, right? So that's the main difference between a class action and a mass tort. And with these types of claims, with a class action type claim, you only have to have one person to bring it on behalf of the entire class.
Ask and answer. Thank you very much.
The other thing that you just kind of sparked another short discussion, and it's a little bit off of the mark for the Military Lending Act, but I think it's important for military families to know. So I even had a call recently from a military family that had a loved one that was serving overseas in a Middle Eastern country, and they placed calls to their loved one. And in their payment plan with their phone company, they have the ability to place calls to another domestic number internationally without having to pay a fee. Yet their phone provider is charging them X amount of dollars a day, which does not conform to their agreement. So it doesn't have to be, it could be something that you haven't even thought of, but it could be anything out there. If there's a company that is ripping you off, overcharging you, you don't think that their billing practices are up to snuff, please reach out to us. Let us know so that we can spread the word and try to combat some of this behavior.
That's how you protect the military families. They can't take action unless somebody brings forth the issue and says, hey, help me out.
Exactly. And I think the way that we can kind of round out the Military Lending Act is to also talk about one other thing. So there's no requirement to arbitrate under the Military Lending Act. The Military Lending Act exclusively prohibits arbitration unless it's, and I say unless, I mean, this is obviously something that a court would have to agree on, but the Military Lending Act does not permit arbitration. So in some of these other types of consumer cases, you know, you can't bring a class, you can't get a jury trial, you got to bring, you know, your $500 claim or your $100 claim into, you know, an arbitration forum. If it's something governed under the Military Lending Act, then you are not subject to arbitration, or at least that's what the federal law says.
So in that case, you are definitely entitled to a hearing before a judge and an evaluation under the law as opposed to a brokered agreement.
Right. Because again, I think that a service member would rather have their day in court in front of a jury, if possible, than, leave it in the hands of an arbitrator who likely is getting cases from that same defendant in other cases. So, and again, I don't want to say that they're impartial, because I've dealt with a couple of really great arbitrators, but I could tell you we would much prefer to litigate in federal court.
Well, and that way you get the justice that you deserve. You get the legal protection entitlements.
And importantly, the company can't bury their conduct, right? It's on full display for anybody to request or to view, whereas arbitration is a bit more private.
And usually entails some form of a consensual non-disclosure.
Yeah, if you have a dispute that arises, or somebody wants to appeal the award, you hear about those, but it's just, it's a lot more casual, and it's not on full display.
Fair enough.
But the best thing to do, if you're active duty or an active duty military family, every single installment loan, payday loan, debt consolidation, credit card, new car, timeshare, you know, furniture that you purchased, everything that you have, track down the agreements and figure out what is it that this company is issuing for an interest rate or disclosure, or what are the terms? And if you think that it violates, even if you're just curious, send it to us, case@broshulaw.com, and we'll investigate it for free and see if there's something that we can do if it does violate federal law.
Again, if you want to reach out, all you got to do is send a message to case@broshulaw.com. You can check out the website, www.broshulaw.com, or feel free to reach out to the office directly, 904-201-1771.
Perfect. I don't know if we're running out of time. I think we're getting close.
I still got a couple of minutes.
Okay, good.
You want to tease up some ideas for some future shows?
Yeah, I think one of the ideas that I love, one of the things that sort of gives me great ideas, is occasionally I'll have someone reach out and say, hey, Chris, you know, I've had this issue. Can you talk about this? Or, hey, can you bring a guest on this issue? I know that the last couple of weeks we've talked about VA disability. The main reason why I don't talk about VA disability as much as some of these other areas is that is probably the most well-known military area out there, is VA disability. But if more veterans and military families want to hear more about VA disability or have individual questions, I mean, I'm willing to talk about it more. I think there are just so many areas that we could get into that are really, you know, fascinating and informative.
Well, let's talk about the upcoming event again on Veterans Day with the Humane Society.
Right. So the November 11th, 2022, that Friday on Veterans Day, Broshu Law is doing an event called Pets for Vets, where we sponsor the adoption fee for military families. The event is going to take place between noon and 4 at Jacksonville Humane Society on Southside Boulevard in Jacksonville. So if you're a military listener, if you have a military family, active duty, or veteran that wants to add a four-legged friend to your crew, please feel free to stop by and join us. Again, all proceeds are going to go to Jacksonville Humane Society. We think it's going to be a great event, and it sure is a great cause. So,
looking forward to that. I think that's going to be a lot of fun and bring a lot of joy to some people, especially some young folks get a new special furry friend to play with.
No doubt. And they have such a great selection in there. I don't know if you've ever been in there before, but they really do one heck of a job.
And it's nice to think of all those pets that are going to get some good forever homes and get some good, responsible, and disciplined care.
Yeah, can we somehow move away from this whole what's the dog that everybody gets, I can see what it is. It looks like a giant teddy bear. But if we could,
like a chow?
No, it's like one of those crossbreed ones. But if we could move back into finding all these pets a good home, and the pets that aren't coming from breeders still make great friends too. So
yeah, there's nothing so lovable as a mutt.
Exactly.
Just ask any dog face.
Exactly.
Once again, guys, if you've got any kind of questions, feel free to reach out. case@broshulaw.com is the email. Feel free to send them a question, and Chris will be happy to answer any questions that he can, or try and get you set up with some guidance. 904-201-1771 if you got questions and want to go straight to the source. And www.broshulaw.com if you want to take a look at some of the frequently asked questions, see some of the services that he provides, set up an appointment, and maybe take care of some of your particular concerns. He's here to help. He's here to protect you. So feel free to reach out and take advantage of the resources available to you. Well, Chris, as always, great fun working with you on another show. Look forward to doing it again.
Same here, Scott. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Appreciate you, brother. Casey will be back to take care of business for next week. In the meantime, thank you so much once again for joining us here on Protecting Military Families with Chris Broshu and Broshu Law on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk.